Hello there, Salim Omar here from the E-Commerce Money Map Podcast. Welcome to another episode. I've got a special guest with us. His name is Dr. Travis Ziegler. Travis, welcome.
Salim, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, really looking forward to this. Very quickly, I'll introduce folks to you and then I'll ask you for your backstory. So Dr. Travis Ziegler, he's a recovering optometrist turned e-commerce entrepreneur. He's the founder of iLove, whose mission is to heal 1 million dry eye sufferers naturally. Dr. Travis and his wife, Dr. Jenna Ziegler, they use the profits from iLove to fund free clinics in Jamaica and the US through their charity, the iLove Cares Foundation. Due to the success of iLove, others have asked if Dr. Travis would help them grow their business online and more specifically with Amazon, which is one of his superpowers. Specializing in Amazon PPC, pay-per-clicks, Dr. Travis and his team help businesses scale their business sales and help increase brand clout. So Travis, thank you so much for taking the time. This is going to be, I really want to dive in. And before we get into the questions, share with us your backstory. What did I not, capture with the description that I gave?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to serving your audience today. A brief backstory about me. I am an optometrist or an eye doctor, and my wife and I are both eye doctors, and we practiced for about 7 years before we went all in on this online thing. And the first thing we were doing is we were actually working for my uncle, who has a practice here in Columbus, Ohio, where I live, and we worked for him. We were Dr. Ziegler, 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 and Ziegler. There's four of us total, so not confusing at all. But I felt an itch to do more, and I didn't know what that itch was, and it was the entrepreneur itch. So I did the three things you're not supposed to do. We quit our jobs. We moved from Ohio to South Carolina, and we started two businesses of our own, two optometry practices. They were about 40 miles apart. So I went from seeing six patients an hour in this busy clinic to now seeing one patient an hour in my brand new clinic, and I got itchy again. And so what I did is 3 months after opening that, I bought a course called Amazing Selling Machine. It taught me how to sell online. And I started a brand, and we started it in the sunglass niche because we knew eyes. So we started Sunglass Brand. We built that brand to about $2 to $3 million per year run rate, but it still fell off. And so we wanted to serve a customer. And what we were seeing more and more of in our practice was dry eye. And so we started building a brand around serving people with dry eye. We didn't have any products. We just served an audience in that dry eye niche. And we did that for about a year until one of those dry eye sufferers came to us with a product idea. We created that product idea, and then we started coming out with more natural organic products around serving dry eye. But we also taught people functional medicine and Eastern medicine around dry eye as well. So we did that from 2017 to 2021. We sold the business in 2021, and we actually stayed on in the corporate environment, in the private equity environment that bought us, for about 18 months and helped build the business even more in that environment. We're now out of that. And in the meantime, because us millennials always have to have side hustles, we started an Amazon ads agency with my two best friends from college. We started that in 2019. So it's about 4 years old now. And that's what I do full time now. Our advertising agency is called Profitable Pineapple Ads. What we do is we help people build moats around their Amazon listing. And we do that through Amazon PPC, of course, Amazon DSP, SEO on Amazon, Google ads, blog articles, building their email lists, emailing their customers, and just creating this moat around, similar to what we did with iLove. And then, like you said, we use the profits for the I Believe Foundation. It used to be called the iLove Cares Foundation. We just changed it within the last 2 months, and it's called the I Believe Foundation. And we use those. We've done about 13 missions to third world countries to help give eye exams, glasses, sunglasses, cataract surgery, diabetic surgery, and glaucoma surgery. So that is my last 10 years, or actually the last 13 years in a brief nutshell, but it's led me to where I am today.
Wow. Love that entrepreneurial spirit, Travis, of like, you know, having that itch and not wanting to stay still. And it's like one venture, make it work, and then you're moving on to, you know, to different things. That's so common in or with all the e-commerce entrepreneurs that I've worked with over the years. What have been, before we get into like the, you know, more nitty gritty kind of questions on how to grow using PPC ads and emails and so forth, what's been the biggest lessons you know, that you've learned as an entrepreneur being in business for 13 years and really in several different types of businesses?
Yeah, persistence is the biggest thing. Most people think that this is an overnight success. And the more persistent you are in doing the things that really move your business forward in a day in, day out basis, the more successful you're going to be. Most people busy themselves with things they think are productive and they're not. And we follow Pareto's principle for pretty much everything in our life. Pareto's principle is pretty much 20% of the actions you take on a daily basis produce 80% of the results. So what if you focus all those actions on that 20%? How much more successful would you be? And most entrepreneurs are busying themselves with day to day, putting out fires, and you can hire people to do all that for you. And so we really try to focus on that 20% that produces 80% of the results and just get rid of the rest. Eliminate it and just see if you can get rid of it. If you still need it, then automate it with software. There's so many softwares out there now. And with AI taking over the world right now, you can use AI for almost anything. And then if you can't eliminate it, if you can't automate it, then delegate it to somebody else. And when you do that, you free up your mind and your space to be persistent in what drives the business forward. And if you do that thing day in, day out, you're going to be successful. And we've done that across two different brands. Actually, if you want to say four, because we pretty much took our practices from nothing to building it to over a $600,000 a year brand, which is a lot harder to do in practice than it is online. And then we built I Love to be a multi seven figure brand, and our agency is a multi seven figure agency as well. And so as long as you're persistent and focusing on what works, that's what really matters. And that's what will push the needle forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Two things, persistence and focus. And I think persistence is almost inbuilt. Like somebody's persistent, they're resilient, they fall down, they get up and they move on, because there are going to be lots of falling down that's going to happen. So it is, you know, there's persistence there, that just that inner drive. Tough to teach anyone, or tough to remind anyone to be driven. You know, it's one of those things that I think we innately have, like persistence is one of them. But focus is something I think that can be, in my opinion, can be something that can be, you know, we can be reminded of, because we can tend to be doing so many things. And this 80-20 has been so important for me, the Pareto principle. And a number of years back, I read Richard Koch's book, KOCH. It's one of the best books on this. On, it really does a deep dive into the 80-20 principle and applying it to so many aspects of our lives. And it's like, wow, yeah, I can spend a lot of time trying to do so much, but, you know, getting that laser focus is so, so important. So really, really appreciate that reminder. Great. Let's talk about email. How to get email leads and turn them into paying customers.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest things that actually has made both of my brands successful and my optometry practice. We did it in all three businesses, and we did it the same way. And so being consistent with your email and making sure you're emailing clients I mean, if you're on my email list, I email you every single day, except for on the weekends. I give you the weekends off. I do that to stay top of mind at all times. But how do you get those email addresses is always the question I get. And the best thing you can do to get email addresses and to get people on your email list is to serve. And making sure that you serve in a way that helps your ideal client solve a problem that they have. Either everybody wants to get to heaven or get out of hell. They want to solve a pain point, or they want to get to a pleasure point. Some examples of that are: a pain point is dry eye disease. That's a very painful situation. Trying to get somebody out of dry eye is how we get people on that list. So we'll create, let's just give you a quick example. We'll create an article about what is dry eye disease. We'll then drive Google Ads traffic to that article on dry eye disease and the treatment for it. And then we'll have a pop-up on that article that says, get our free Rethinking Dry Eye Treatment book. It doesn't have to be a full book. That's just what we had. We wrote a book. It's 200 pages long. It's a real book on rethinking dry eye treatment. Completely unorthodox methods to treat dry eye. Drinking green smoothies, drinking more water, stressing less, sleeping more. And we teach strategies around that. Things they've never heard for dry eye treatment. So we drive them to an article with Google Ads around dry eye, to an article about dry eye with a pop-up that solves the pain that they're trying to get out of. And when you solve that pain, they want to give you their email address. And then on that email sequence, we email them once a week or once a day about dry eye and how they can solve it even better. So we just focus 100% on service. And then in those service moments, maybe our product fits in there organically, such as you need to clean your eyelids and keep your eyelids clean to reduce your dry eye. This is how you clean your eyelids. Use our product X, Y, and Z. And so you can organically input your products in there. And the way you do that is the way to start this whole thing is you have to think about the problem that your product solves. Going back to that heaven and hell, that pain and pleasure moment. Mm-hmm. What is the problem that your product solves? Mm-hmm. Solve that. And you'll get people to opt into your emails. Mm-hmm. You'll get people on your email address and they won't, or on your email list, and they won't leave because you're serving them at the highest level as a result of solving their pain point. And to go the opposite route, focusing on pleasure would be like focusing on the entrepreneur that wants that Ferrari, focusing on the entrepreneur that wants that private jet experience. That's the pleasure area. So think about what problem your product solves, focus all your marketing around that, and you'll get people to opt in and just continue to serve them. Don't spam them. Don't do anything like that. Just serve them. When you serve them, the law of reciprocity kicks in. And you've provided them with so much value that they just want to give back to you naturally.
Mm, got it. What are some best practices that you follow in your creating emails?
So around emails is just speak in stories and become a good storyteller. When we write emails for clients as well. But when we wrote emails for our brand, we try to incorporate a story that then leads to a call to action. And so an example of that is, we call it the triangle of insight. I learned it from Travis Sago years ago. And it's having this story front and center of the email to make you relational to them, to make you relate to them. And so, and then you kind of tie it around it reminding you of one of your products and then a call to action to go buy your product. And it doesn't necessarily have to do that all the time. You can just talk about your life, but maybe something happened over the weekend and you just want to tell your audience about it. It's as simple as that. Talk about your life. People want to do business with people, not with corporations. They want to do business with people. So become relational, relate to them by telling stories. Because when somebody can look at you or be reading your email and they say, yes, me too, mm-hmm. they have that relationship with you then. And that's when you can really start to sell them without selling them. I hope that made sense, but you're just creating a story that's just around trying to relate to them. Maybe just by something that happened on your life.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense. And, you know, so in order to do that, Travis, I mean, we need, you know, it's coming from a person from your side, right? Is that you?
On the agency, yes. On the brand, it was my wife. And so we made her the kind of the spokesperson, but I wrote some of those emails as well. But yeah, from the agency, I write all my emails still. There are some emails that my team will write, but for the most part, every email you get from me comes from me. And because I feel like that's such an important part. And when I meet people in person, they know tons about me. They know my kids' names. They know my wife's name. Mm. And I've never met them before. And it's just because I tell so many stories in my emails.
Right. Yeah. In order to tell stories, you need that person. So you're the spokesperson for your agency and your wife is for your other business.
Yep.
How to scale a company with your PPC method?
So the cool thing about our method with PPC is that it's extremely focused. So going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, the 80-20 principle, most people are focusing. So there's a lot of people out there talking about everything that's up and coming in Amazon PPC. That's great. You need to know that stuff, but you don't need to act on it right away. There's a ton of stuff that you can do with Amazon PPC out there. But what I like to do is I like to dial my strategy back onto what is moving the needle. Mm-hmm. And what moves the needle with Amazon PPC, and this is for about 95% of people. We have the occasional client that's just a little different, but Amazon sponsored products, search ads. This is your typical search ad on Amazon. Somebody types in eyelid wipes. You have sponsored products all on the first four. That is sponsored products, search ads. And those are the most important Amazon PPC ad that you can master. There are a million other things and Amazon keeps adding to it day by day. There are a million other things that you can focus on, but if you just focused on search ads and sponsored products, that is going to make the biggest difference. And you can actually focus the search ads down even more, because what you can do is you can pull what's called a search term report inside Amazon. That search term report is going to have all the keywords that you're converting on, that you're making the most sales on. So you can actually take all those keywords or search terms and you can even focus it more, because 20% of your search terms producing 80% of your results. And when you just focus around those search terms, then you can make a huge difference in your profits, your sales. It increases your revenue, increases your profits. It decreases your ACOS, which then leads to even more cash flow, which then you can use that more cash flow to focus on bringing out more products. And so it's just kind of this perpetual flywheel that if you continue to focus on the 80-20 of Amazon PPC, then you'll create this flywheel that you'll get more cash flow, which means you can come out with more products, which then means you can come out with even more products. And it just kind of keeps going if you focus. But if you spread all your funds out across all your products, across all your advertisement campaigns, that's when you start to lose money and your ACOS starts to go a little higher.
So give us an example what that looks like. Is it the search products that come up for what that company is offering?
I'll take it even a step further. So 20% of your products are even leading to 80% of your revenue. 20% of your customers are producing 80% of your revenue. And so what if you focus on that 20% of customers, call them on the phone, ask them their problems, what should we come out with next? That could even push your business further. Going back to Amazon PPC, if you have 10 products, two of those products are doing most of the work. What if you stopped advertising on the other eight and just focus on those two? You're going to increase your profits. You're going to increase your revenue. You're going to decrease your ACOS, which is then going to make you more profitable. But what happens is you'll get a spillover effect where people will start to trust your brand and they'll start to buy your other products as well. So usually when you focus this, you increase sales velocity of your two best sellers, which if good quality will make people come back, buy more, and then buy your other products as well. But going specifically to what you asked, inside the search term report, there will be specific words that people are typing in that you're starting to scale on, making lots of sales on. And what you want to do is focus around that. So one of our search terms was eyelid wipes. So what we did is we made sure we always won eyelid wipes because our conversion rate was so high, and we scaled that keyword to the point where we knew as long as we were at the top of the sponsored area, we would pretty much get a conversion or get a sale about 40% of the time. So we always wanted to be up there. Now, what we also did, and this is where differentiation comes in, you have to differentiate your brand, is every other product that showed up on that list, we made sure we advertised on that specific product. So if they didn't click into our listing, they saw it, but then they clicked into our competitor, we were on our competitor's page all over it. And then if they clicked on the next competitor, we were all over that one too. And so if they typed in eyelid wipes into Amazon, if they didn't click on ours, if they clicked on our competitors, they'd see us. But if they searched for it, they'd see us. And so they keep seeing us over and over and over again. And that repetition, if you have unique, differentiated branding, will make them remember you and end up going to buy you anyway.
That's great. Love that.
Yeah.
Now, what if somebody's listening to this and say, Travis, good stuff, man, but I have a low budget. How do I succeed on Amazon with a low budget?
That's even more important than go with the 80-20, because you can't spread your budget thin. Download your search term report. Focus only on the products that are your top products. If you only have one product, then obviously it's that product. But only focus on those search terms that are at the top of that search term report. Get rid of everything else. Pause them and just focus on scaling those. And I go into that a lot. I have a free Amazon PPC masterclass, and it's at profitablepineapple.com. That's just a shameless plug in the middle of this podcast, but profitablepineapple.com. Go over there. I walk you through it step by step. It's absolutely free. There's no strings attached. And I give you all the secrets around that SOP part of what we teach our client managers, our account managers, is we show them this 80-20 strategy. This is what we do for our clients. And so we have a full SOP around it. And you just focus on what's working. Just focus on what's working, especially if you have a low budget. It is so, so vital.
So guys, go get it. That's a great resource. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to put that in the show notes as well. All right. We're coming close to finishing up. One thing that I wanted to definitely ask you that I haven't is how to increase brand clout.
Yeah. So pretty much what we've been talking about is key. But the one thing you got to remember is focusing your brand around solving that one specific problem and really focusing on what problem do you solve as a business? When people are going to talk about you and remember you, what problem was that? What was it that your business solved? And so with iLove, it was dry eye and blepharitis and meibomian gland dysfunction. Those are all front of the eye situations where your eyes are just really irritated. So that is what we solved. So everything we did focused around that. Our website, our Shopify store, we had a full resource on our blog around how to solve issues with blepharitis, irritated eyelids, dry eye, meibomian gland dysfunction. All of that stuff had blog posts. And we had multiple blog posts. You don't have to keep writing blog posts every week. That's for SEO. It's not that I don't believe in SEO. We just don't focus on SEO. We'd write these blog posts with the pure purpose of driving Google ads to it, getting eyeballs on it, and then getting them to go over and buy on Amazon. So everything around our brand was how can we decrease dry eye in our patient? Every product we came out with, every article we came out with, every email we wrote, everything was around that problem that our product solved. And when you do that over and over and over again for a long period of time, persistence, then you are going to be known as the brand leader. You're going to be looked at as the brand leader, or not the brand leader, but the industry leader. And so we did that with iLove. We were both eye doctors, so we had that authority built in. Mm-hmm. We worked at dry eye clinic, so we had that authority built in already too. But we came out with YouTube videos, Facebook videos, a Facebook group, email lists, products. Everything was around dry eye. So we got known as leaders in the industry of dry eye. Now that doesn't come without repercussions, as in a lot of our colleagues started to hate us as a result of this, mostly because they're jealous that they didn't come up with something like this themselves. And we taught different methods around it. So it was very polarizing to what we were taught in Western medicine. So we had this polarizing viewpoint around dry eye. We focused our blogs, emails, products around it. Everything was around dry eye. So it created this clout. Now, one more example, our agency. We aren't an Amazon PPC agency. We are a moat building agency. We build this impenetrable moat around your Amazon listing, around your brand to make you the industry leader. So how do we do that? We did it inside the agency by coming out with Amazon PPC videos, writing pretty much all our content around how you can improve your Amazon listings or your Amazon business. We did it by showing you how to write blogs around pain points, showing you everything that we do in the agency for our clients. And that makes you look at me as the authority. You're hearing me on this podcast. So you right there think I have authority as well, because you're hearing me right now. You're then going to go to profitablepineapple.com, see me in that space as well. You're then going to check out a couple of YouTube videos. And then all of a sudden you've seen me in these three different areas. Mm. So I have authority in this space. And then you're going to trust me more. So then you might apply to work with me later. You might take my free course, but you have that inherent trust because you've seen me everywhere. Mm. And I've increased that brand clout as a result. And that's what we do for our clients, is we optimize their Amazon listing with Amazon PPC and Amazon DSP and Google ads to their blog posts. So people have seen you in Google, on Amazon, and then on Amazon, off Amazon all over with DSP advertising. And then we start building blogs around it, building your email list, also building your email list through like product inserts. And then we email your client. And so you're creating this place, this environment where they're seeing you everywhere. And therefore, you're going to increase your clout as a result of doing that. So I've done it in the physical product space with iLove. I've done it in the agency space with Profitable Pineapple. And then we've repeated it over with our clients as well. Does it work for everyone? No. And I will say it does not work if you can't think of a problem that your product solves. If you sell just another kitchen appliance or a kitchen utensil that everybody else sells, it's not going to work for you. It's going to be too hard. But if your product actually and your business actually solves a problem, then it will work for you. And if you can't think of the problem that your business solves and you can't just think of it like that, then you need to think of a new business to come out with, because you're not going to go anywhere as a result. But I know you said most of the owners here are doing, you know, a lot more. And so you guys probably have solved a problem and this will work for you. And so that's how you increase your brand clout, is just showing up everywhere.
Amazing. Good stuff, man. Travis, this was really, really a lot of good wisdom that you've shared with us. What's the best way for listener, viewer to reach out to you?
Yeah. Thanks again for having me on, and thanks for letting me say this as well. But profitablepineapple.com, profitablepineapple.com, that is our website. You can go there. We have the free Amazon PPC course. We have a free audience building course there as well. Pretty much how to build this impenetrable moat around your business. And then if you want to apply to work with us, you can do that there as well. The free courses are hosted on our community. Our community is, we have one on Facebook, but we also have one off Facebook. And that's where the free courses are. And so that's the easiest way to get a hold of me, is just go through profitablepineapple.com. If you apply, that comes directly to me. If you join us inside the community by getting on those free courses, then that will actually, I'm right in there in the community. You can tag me, you can send me a message, whatever you want to do. So profitablepineapple.com.
That's awesome. Great. Now, is the cap, you've got a cap. I can't see, is that the picture there? Is that a pine? It is a pineapple, or it is multiple pineapples. So that's great. That's the brand. And is there any meaning behind using the word profitable pineapple?
I went to Traffic and Conversion Summit and I saw
Ryan Dice.
Yep. I saw
multiple times.
There's tons of exhibitors there. And yeah, I remember one booth, and the one booth was a dancing pickle handing out full dill pickles. And I was like, that's brilliant. And their agency was Design Pickle. And I was like, we need to come out with a name, something like that. And we had a list of names and we sent it out to our audience at the time. And then they picked Profitable Pineapple. And so that's how we, but little did we know that there's so much you can do with pineapples because they're everywhere. I mean, you can literally just buy a t-shirt, a hat from Amazon. I got that painting done behind me in Hawaii at the Dole plantation. They painted it right in front of us. And then like my son likes to draw pineapples. That's what this one is right here. So you can do so much with it. And there's so many, and people gift me pineapples all the time now. So it was just something we did for fun and to be memorable, because in this space, there's not a lot of memorable names. And so that's why we did it. And now I'm known as the pineapple guy when I speak on stage.
Very nice. Thanks, Travis. Really appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. TK.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Money Map podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at ecommercemoneymap.com or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about the E-Commerce Accounting Hub, visit ecommerceaccountinghub.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the E-Commerce Money Map podcast.